This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, actually Lexington, Kentucky today. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March the 18th, episode 1384.
And I'm Mary Kitzmiller, also coming to you live from the Kentucky Horse Park with day one of our 3 days of coverage of the Road to the Horse. This episode is brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Founded by Tootie Bland and her late husband, Steven, Road to the Horse has grown beyond what they or anyone else involved in its humble beginnings could have ever dreamed. This unique competition brings together three of the world's top trainers and clinicians. For over 2 days, they will gentle a horse in adjacent round pens, while thousands of fans relish every moment. Combining education and entertainment, Road to the Horse is truly a one-of-a-kind event.
Come back for more on this road to the horse.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our first day of coverage here at Road to the Horse from the Horses in the Morning show. We appreciate you stopping by. This is the first day of 3 days of coverage we have for you, and we'll explain a little bit more about the schedule as we go through the program this morning. And of course, I'm joined by my good friend, two-time Road to the Horse wildcard competitor and one of the top trainers in the country, Mary Kitzmiller.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. It's so good to be here right beside you for a change.
I know. This is I've been to Road to the Horse several times, and this is a brand new angle, so I'm really excited to...
You get to watch this time and not be all stressed out about competing.
Watching makes me more stressed out, though. I get really antsy. I have to stand up and walk around.
Yeah, one of the things I learned about Mary just in the short time I spent with her yesterday was that she cannot sit still. This girl cannot sit still for more than 2 minutes.
No. I'm a really bad fidgeter. So that will be my challenge this week. Instead of riding a horse, is just sitting still. I'm going to have to sit on my hands.
Well, we are so excited to be here. It's they're getting set up right now. Actually, the competition starts a little later in the day. We'll go over the schedule with you for that. And we are also going to be going over who's competing and how it all works. And for those of you going, what is Road to the Horse? What is that anyway? We're going to be telling you all about that this morning, too. So we have a lot coming up. We have some special guests on deck for you today. So we'll be, I think we have 5 or 6 guests stopping by, hopefully, this morning. So we're just going to be talking all things of Road to the Horse. Before we go any further, though, I want to remind everybody that's in the Lexington area, whether you're at Road to the Horse or not, we're doing a meetup tonight at 7 p.m. at Cortland's Southern Country Kitchen, I think it's called, or Southern Kitchen, at the Clarion Hotel in Lexington. That's the one on Newtown Pike at 7 p.m. Mary and I will be there, so if you want to stop by and say hi. I know a bunch of the auditors that were coming out. We had a bunch of listeners stop here yesterday. I want to give a special thanks to Linda Geddick, who is our wrangler this morning. She is our guest wrangler this morning, so she'll be getting them all lined up as they come in. We appreciate that. Thanks, Linda. Well, let's explain how Road to the Horse works and what it is. This competition started in 2003. And it was started by Tootie Bland and her husband. And you've heard Tootie, if you're a regular listener to Horses in the Morning, she's quite a force to be reckoned with. She's a 4'9" of ball of energy and just doesn't stop. And that's the reason that this competition has become as big as it is her driving force. But I saw her this morning and said, how you doing? She was just about bubbling over.
Oh, yeah. You know, the crowds are already gathered up this morning. I almost couldn't get in right away. And she's out there greeting everybody as they're going in. We've got Dan James on Swampy. So it's already exciting. We haven't even started yet.
Dan's going to be joining us on Sunday
I have to interject here. Dan James is riding his horse around in front of the arena.
On the concrete out there in front of the arena.
Yes. He's in with the tractors and the landscaping.
Oh, that's awesome.
And riding bareback. So.
That's cool. It's like the Dodge Ram trucks. It's like a Hollywood grand opening. You know, it's red carpet.
And thing. Swampy, of course, just eats that up. Yeah. His horse, Swampy, is the greatest horse. So Dan's going to be joining us on Sunday for an hour, too, to help us with the live coverage of the finals on Sunday. So he'll be stopping by. All right, Road to the Horse. It is a colt starting competition. They have 3 days to get their colt started. And you say, well, you know, that three long days that you could probably do something with the colt, but that's not how it works here. So the first day, though, what will happen today is they will bring all of the remuda in, which is a term I had to learn, by the way. I didn't know what a remuda was till I started coming to Road to the Horse.
I had to learn that, too, unfortunately.
I thought that was a Texas cowboy thing and that you all knew it.
It is, but, you know, I wasn't, like, on a ranch in West Texas doing the cowboy thing. So that was kind of a new term to me, too, before I got familiar with the event.
Best I can tell, it's a gaggle of horses. So they come in and they'll actually pick their horses. I think they pick the horse. They do the running of the remuda, they call it, this afternoon at 2:00. And then they'll pick their horses, right? The competitors will not have had a chance to interact with them at all.
Right. They can't go in and touch them. They can't be, you know, right up next to them. They've had a chance, you know, when the cowboys unloaded them off the truck and you know, the clinicians could kind of just sit on the fence and look at them. But then for the official picking, they run the remuda and each contestant has, they give them about 2 minutes to kind of go through the herd. They can move them a little bit. And then, right, you know, then they have to call their number and say which one they want.
And that's the one they get for the rest of the weekend, good or bad.
For better or for worse, yes. I've seen a few guys that I'm thinking, I wonder if he's regretting his choice.
Yeah, there's been a few. And what's interesting about this competition then is they immediately take that horse and they go into a round pen with that horse. But they only have 90 minutes today, tomorrow, and Sunday morning. So they have 3 90-minute blocks to actually work the horses, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and it's not a lot of time.
No, it's not. You know, and when doing the wild card deal where I had a very real chance of getting in there and doing this myself, I did a little practice on the clock. And when you're at home and you have it on the clock, you're like, oh, no, this is good. I can do this. But when you're down there in the ring, all of a sudden that 90 minutes feels like 15 minutes.
Now, they have one person that can help them. So that what will be today is there'll be 3 round pens set up, and each clinician will be in, or a competitor will be in a round pen. And they'll have one pen wrangler that can help them, like hand equipment to them and that kind of thing, and also help them keep them calm and, you know, help them mentally and physically as well.
But the pen wrangler can't go in the pen with them and actually work with the horse at all.
And they can't coach them at all. They can't say, you know, they can call, give them time, you know, tell them what time they're at, help them with the breaks and everything. And yeah, and communicate if the judge goes over and needs to express something to them. So.
Well, then, so that's today. They'll get an hour and a half today. They get an hour and a half. I believe it's just 1 hour and a half. Yep. 1 hour and a half tomorrow. And then they'll have an hour and a half on Sunday morning. And then the final competition happens, starts at 11 on Sunday, where they do an obstacle course and a bit of a freestyle. And the obstacle course is always an interesting thing. Tootie takes pride in her obstacle courses. Mary was very intimate with the obstacle course last year.
Oh, yes. And the same obstacles that they had for my horse, the competition I was in, where we've trained these horses for a year, that blew my horse's mind, they're using for these colts. And actually, the colts did better. The obstacles are amazing. They're really brightly colored, and you've got streamers and smoke, and they've had live animals in the past. So it's definitely...
You had an outhouse.
Yes.
Yeah, one of Mary's favorite memories. You had to actually drop the reins of your horse. And this is a horse that's been trained for like 3 days, right? You had to drop the reins of your horse.
Now, we didn't have to do that for the colts. I don't think that was in the colt obstacle.
They didn't?
Course.
Okay.
I think that was just for all right. Just
they
for
had to push
cards.
That thing with with Wile E. Coyote in it.
Yes. Yeah, it was this rocket that you have a coyote on. It's like jet streamers and air. And I think it even made a noise when you start.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think my horse would do that now.
Yeah, it was nuts.
So some of these things that you see these horses doing after a couple of days of competition is something that you do not picture your horse doing at this point after years of training. Well, this year we've had the numbers are staggering over the years. We have three competitors this year. That's changed in the past. Last year we had four because of wild card competition and different things that have happened over the years. But this year there's three competitors, and let's go over who they are. Okay, so first in the we have Clinton Anderson, who Mary knows a little bit about.
Yeah, Clinton's no stranger to the competition, and he won it in 2003 and 2005. And I don't think they had a 2004 competition, so I think he was the first guy to win it 2 years in a row. And he was also, to the best of my knowledge, I think he was one of the first guys who started really showcasing standing on colts and cracking whips. And I remember when I first saw that, you know, and he got through the whole obstacle course and he stood up on his horse. I thought, oh my gosh, that's really amazing. He was able to do that. And of course, now it's become Road to the Horse's trademark. It's even in their logo.
And, you know, he is probably, he has his booth here. Clinton's booth with his, all of his stuff is about half the building. It seems like
it's probably a good 3/4
and
of
his
a mile
truck.
Long.
It's pretty impressive too.
Yes.
I saw his truck outside. That's pretty impressive. Also, before we get to our next competitor and talk to you a little bit about Richard Winters, though, we had a chance to catch up with the new announcer this year, because Richard Winters has been the announcer in the past. On the floor here doing most of the announcing for the event. For the past 5 years, he's been the announcer. Well, Craig Cameron is taking over as the announcer this year, and we had a chance to catch up with Craig for a little bit yesterday, so let's hear what he had to say about it.
We are here on Thursday afternoon, and we're with Craig Cameron, who is doing some announcing this year. It's a little different for you.
Well, it's a little bit different, absolutely. I'd much rather be down in the arena in the heat of competition, but you know, what a great event, the 2016 Road to the Horse Colt Starting World Championships. And this year, you know, with the contestants that we have, it's going to be a tough event.
You know, and Richard Winters has done pretty well announcing. I mean, he's got quite a fan base. You're going to have a lot to live up to here just in the announcing.
Well, you know, Richard, he is smooth. Everything he does, his horsemanship, his announcing, he knows what he's doing. And I tell you what, I believe Richard is truly a threat to win out there if he can draw the right horse.
So I was going to ask if you had a favorite. I know you're not allowed to say that. So.
Oh, I like all these guys. Nick Dowers, I think he's going to impress a lot of people. This guy's got a great background, has worked for some great horsemen and horse women as well. And I tell you what, this guy, he's going to have some fans when he leaves here. And of course, Clinton, you know, what a fierce competitor. He'll have a few surprises up his sleeve, so this ought to be good.
Awesome. So, you know, the announcing's new to you for Road to the Horse, but you also do a lot of emceeing at your cowboy race events. Is that right?
You know, I do all the commentating there, and so again, it's not totally foreign to me, but I'm really excited about this particular event because, you know, it's different, it's exciting, these guys are on the time limit, so that's what makes it very tough. So I'm going to try to convey that to the audience and let these guys know step by step what these guys are doing or not doing so that they can be right on board with us.
Very good. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it as well. What a great event. And, hey, everybody keep riding like a champion. I'll definitely see you on the trail.
Well, that was Craig Cameron, this year's announcer. They have a different name for the announcer here. What is it? I can't remember right off the top.
Oh, man.
So they have a different.
Like an MC.
Yeah, I know. He's like the MC. They have a different name for it here, and I can never remember the name. But he's replacing this year Richard Winters, who's done it for the past 5 years. And the reason is Richard's going to be competing this year. He's a past winner of Road to the Horse and 5 times as the Horseman's Host. That's what they call him. That's what the announcer's called here, the Horseman's Host. So he is competing. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's very charismatic. He's very smooth. He's just a super nice guy, too.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he's one of the guys, the same guy that you see on TV and giving interviews. That's how he talks to everybody. Just really, really super nice and makes time for everyone. And I think he won it in 2009, and then his daughter Sarah actually was a competitor in 2013, so they're pretty familiar with the
one
event.
Of the very few women to compete here.
Yes, yeah, I think there's 3 women that have competed. There's of course Stacy Westfall,
who won it, and we got to speak with Stacy yesterday for a little while in the hallway. She was here making an appearance. She apparently has to head to Florida for a clinic the rest of this weekend, so we won't see her. We didn't get a chance to get an interview with her, but it was fun to chat with her for a while.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, she did amazing. Everyone knows who she is. And then Sarah The other two women actually competed in the same year. There was Sarah Winters and, or now Sarah Dawson and Abby Schlum, and they did a spectacular job. In fact, they gave the boys the run for their money the first day. I think they were in first and second.
Did Abby win that year?
No, I think it was Guy McLean.
I can't. No, anytime you're competing against Guy McLean.
Yeah. He's kind of a tough cookie. To
yeah. But Sarah's going to be stopping by here in a couple minutes this morning, and we'll get to talk to her a little bit later on in the show. So that's going to be fun as well. And then we have rookie Nick Dowers, who we met yesterday for the first time. He actually took the Cow Horse World by storm in October of 2013, when he piloted Time for the Diamond to the National Reined Cow Horse Association Snaffle Bit Futurity Open World Championship. And oh, by the way, Mary, your Western shows have the longest damn names. I got to tell you. The National Reined Cow yes. Horse Association Snafflebit Futurity World Championship?
Oh well, if you're in the Western world, if you're familiar with that and you say Snafflebit Futurity.
They know what it is.
Yeah.
But the names are super long. It's just funny.
Yes, yeah.
So this he is a rookie this year. It's his first time competing here. And we had a chance to catch up with him yesterday for a little bit over at his booth. Let's hear what he had to say.
All right, it's Thursday afternoon, and I'm standing here with Nick Dowers, getting ready for the first session tomorrow morning, and just wanted to stop in and say hi. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm all ready. Yeah.
All right.
Feeling good.
Have you been starting colts a lot this year, getting ready, or is it just kind of business as usual?
We have. It's been, as far as what we've started around the ranch, it's kind of business as usual, but I've saved a few back, and we started them under the time element, and we kind of practiced the format.
Did you find anything different when you actually had a clock on you? Was there things that you thought in your program, oh, I'm going to have to take this out, or I need to do more of this?
No, not so much as I just kind of had to get shook. My friend's like, hey, slow down. And so, you know, the first session, the first horse, I was kind of a wreck. I was just walking around like a crazy person, you know. And then after that, I realized I had more time than I thought I did. And I was able to just kind of go with it after that. But the first horse, the first time, I was kind of nuts.
We'll see if he's saying that tomorrow when he comes out of the ring after the first hour and a half. I had more time than I thought I did.
Yeah.
We'll see if you're saying that tomorrow.
Yeah.
It might be changed. Yeah.
You have 12 minutes left. Yeah, it is a whole different ballgame. I mean, obviously you're going to bring your program to the table, because that's what this is all about, is showcasing how what you do is going to be successful even in a competition setting. But you do have to change a lot and edit a lot. And
who's going to be down there helping you?
I got my friend Nolan Riles flying in, and he'll be here this afternoon, and he's going to be down there helping me. We've worked together a lot over the years, and he really knows me on a personal level and a horseman level, and so I'm excited to have him here, because if I am going around there like a crazy person, he can shake me and he
can give you hand signals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a colt picked out yet?
I've got my eye on a couple for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been able to go down and look at them at this point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you look for?
A good
this
one.
Isn't playing till tomorrow
a good
morning.
One.
So
a good
you're
one.
Oh, I don't know. I got a few things that I kind of look for. You know, I just want something that just looks appealing. You know, something that you look and you say, oh, that looks like a nice horse, because a lot of times they are. And if it looks like a knothead, maybe it might be, you know. So I kind of just...
I love the fact that you don't overcomplicate that. Sometimes when we ask that question, we get a 10-minute answer, you know, of everything they're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a kind of a checklist, but I want to pick something that I want to ride, not something that I have to ride.
Well, that's a good answer, actually.
Yeah, well, and, you know, when someone can answer simply like that, you know they've done it for about 10,000 or so hours. So you can just look at one and know right off the bat when he's what you want.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. We're excited to be following the competition all weekend.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was Nick Dowers. And so now there are your competitors for this competition this weekend. We have Clinton Anderson, Richard Winters, and the rookie Nick Dowers. And of course, we wouldn't be here without the help of our sponsors. And we're so excited that our title sponsor is horselovers.com, the world's largest online tack shop. Have you tried them yet? If not, you should. Visit horselovers.com every day this spring to see their daily deals and flash sales. Horselovers.com has everything for the Western and English rider, and also the trail rider. Use coupon code HRN, that's Horse Radio Network, short for Horse Radio Network, HRN, at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Yeah, this, that's coupon code HRN at checkout to get 10% off your entire order. The coupon expires April 30th, so get on over to horselovers.com today and save. We love them. Do check out their daily deals. Jennifer and I do all the time.
Can you say flash sale?
I know, and you do all the time, and it really concerns me because then it always costs me money. But you can check it out. There is big savings on the flash sales. Horselovers.com. We wouldn't be here without them today. So, Mary, real quick, before we get to our first guest, what does it take to train these horses in 3 days? And what will we see, you know, what will we see the progression over the 3 days?
That's a really good question. And, you know, a lot of people might look at a 3 day event and say, oh my gosh, you know, you can really get a horse doing that in that amount of time. And I've been riding with a lot of folks all over the country who do contract colt starting and they're starting 30 head of horses, or sometimes even, you know, 100 or so head of horses at a time. And when you have a really developed program and they've done it so many times, you're able to kind of weed out what's, we don't really need to focus on so much and get right to the heart of it. And so a lot of the competitors that you see this weekend have just this, you know, a ton of experience doing this kind of thing. And for the most part, everyone I've talked to, when you ask, okay, well, how are you going to approach this training in such a short amount of time? They all have sort of a mental checklist, like on day one, I'd really like to get this and this and this done. You know, maybe I really would like to get my hands on my colt today. I'd like to get him saddled. And if we get further than that, that's great. If not, then I know what I have to work on tomorrow. But these guys know, you know, you have to really be able to edit that list as you go along and adjust to that horse, because you really do have to take it on a horse by horse basis.
It's been interesting because I don't know a lot about colt starting. So for me to watch this competition, I'm looking at it from totally green eyes, right? And when I watched it the first year, I was enthralled and amazed. I thought, oh man, how boring is it going to be to watch, you know, colt starting competition over 3 days? and I was so, Jennifer will tell you, I came home and I was so excited because you get to see the nuances when they're starting these colts from scratch. You get to see the personalities within 10 minutes. You see the personalities of each colt starting to come out. You see the different training methods because they're all doing it at the same time. And you really start comparing pen to pen, horse to horse, what's going on. And it was truly interesting, and I just was enthralled by the whole thing over the period of days. And then as you get into the second day, you watch these horses start to develop a little bit more. They get the saddles on them, they're starting to ride them a little more, and it was just from a neophyte, from green eyes, it was really an interesting thing to watch over that period of time.
Oh, yeah. And like Tootie will tell you, the horses are the real stars of the show. You know, we've got some big names out here. In fact, they're getting ready to sign some autographs right now. But
there's a whole line of people waiting for autographs.
Yeah, I'm watching them. But it's really the horses. And the horses really endear themselves to the crowd. And each horse has just kind of a special quirk about them. And you get to know them over the weekend. And sometimes you root for the guy who's just, everything's going perfect for him the whole weekend. But probably the horse that really gets through to people most is the sort of difficult one that the first day gave everybody a hard time. And then by the end of it, the horse is just, you know, when that horse is then making it through the obstacle course and he's succeeding, the crowd is right there with him. It's really neat to see.
And you see the light bulbs come on, you know, and I taught sales for a lot of years, and we always talked about the light bulb when people get something. And in the sales process, it's when your prospective client, you see the light bulb goes on, they go, oh, and that's the point where they realize what you're trying to sell them is something they actually want and need. And with the horse training, it was kind of the same way. You see the horses like as they learn the little things, and as they're trying to accomplish, as the trainer is trying to accomplish something, and you see the horse get it, and he, in his face, you can see the horse's light bulb come on, and he goes, okay, I got this, let's move on, you know? And you do see those light bulb moments from the stand.
Oh, yeah. It's really amazing how much that comes across. Even if you're not familiar with colt starting, or you're not that experienced with horses, and the best guys know, instead of making their horse do something, I'm going to make you cross this tarp. They wait for that moment and allow it to happen. And you can see that in the horse when he's saying, I don't want to, I don't want to. Okay, now I'm going to do it. And then, you know, those guys are able to just kind of release them across the tarp. It's really cool to see.
So we start today, as I said, with the running of the Remuda a little bit later in the show. If you're just joining us, thank you for joining us from the Kentucky Horse Park. We have a new vantage point this year. Last year, we were kind of in the hallway. This year, we're actually in the announcer's booth. We're in the glassed-in booth. It's very fancy looking. And we're going to get to our first guest in a minute, who we're excited to have on the show with us right after we hear from Cashel Products, who's been sponsoring our Road to the Horse coverage since we started years ago.
Time for some Road to the Horse trivia.
Which of our three competitors here today is a real TV lover? Won't put down the remote. Cashel Company is your proud source for English tack equipment and accessories, and they have been for a long time. From cushion pads to saddlebags that fit your English saddle, Cashel Company has what you need. Their full line of accessories, such as a rolling crew bag and hay bale bag, help make chores easier and keep you organized at the barn or the show. You can find the Feather Flex girth in jump or dressage style and a whole range of tush cushions to fit your English saddle as well. If you need it, chances are Cashel Company has got it. Be sure to check them out at cashelcompany.com. That's C-A-S-H-E-L company.com. And who can't put down the TV remote? Well, that would be Richard Winters. And we'll have a little trivia for you as we go through the weekend. And we want to thank Cashel Company for being with us for our third year of coverage of Road to the Horse. Well, there's a video that was going around. We've had him on the show before. His name is Michael Gaskin. And he is here joining us because you are an entertainer here this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all so much for having me. It's such an awesome place to be in and such an awesome venue to be at. I'm just honored to be here.
Well, now you're always saying to yourself, well, who the heck is Michael Gaskin? Well, you know him from his video. He was the dinosaur in the dinosaur riding a horse video that everybody saw and 9 million views or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy ride ever since that video went viral. I've been getting calls from Colombia, South America, Puerto Rico, even from Japan. I've been getting calls. Hey, you're the dinosaur guy.
And that was on ESPN Sports Center. So when we say it's viral, it's not just viral in the horse world. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it definitely has some mainstream crossover markability. And I think that's what made it so successful is that even the non-horse people could enjoy it and share it with their friends.
If you haven't seen it, just Google dinosaur riding horse and you'll be the first thing that comes up.
It should be the first
thing. Yeah, you're going to go to YouTube, you'll find it.
Unless it started a trend.
Now, we talked to you last time you were on the show about that video, but for people who are tuning in for the first time, this was kind of something you had really been working on videos for a long time before this one hit.
This is true. You know, I had the desire for about a year and the dream for a year now to be in and Road to the Horse and be a part of this. And I knew that going viral would definitely help me get here. So I've been trying for about a year, trying and failing and doing a lot more horsemanship, you know, in the box type videos. And they would go horsemanship viral, you know, 5,000 views, 20,000 views. But it wasn't until that dinosaur got put on that, you know, it just blew up and caught fire.
We always say it's the stupid stuff that goes viral, right? I mean, it's true, right? If you did a serious training video, you're not going to get that kind of reaction, right?
Well, I just think that the horse community is a bit smaller. Whenever you make the videos that have that crossover, you know, everybody can appreciate it type atmosphere in it. That's really what picks up.
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday. My Silly Pony Rolling in the Water is now at 8 million views. And, you know, it's just, you just don't know.
Yeah,
right?
You don't know what's going to pick up. And, well, we talk about how your, quote unquote, your horsemanship videos didn't quite get as many views because it kind of stayed within the horsemanship community. And the dinosaur is fun and silly, but there's still a lot of horsemanship there because obviously you have to have a really well broke horse who's comfortable with that kind of thing. And so that came through as well. And that's a Pasofino, is that right?
That is correct. My partner in crime is Tito. He's a 9-year-old Grand National Champion Pasofino Stallion. And he wouldn't be able to do it if he wasn't such a seasoned bomb-proof horse. I mean, he is just game for anything that I ask him. And I didn't even have to think about it or rehearse it. I just looked him in the face and he said, okay, let's do it. So
why Pasofinos, by the way?
Pasofino's, I was fortunate enough to be born and raised training Pasofino's. I'm a fifth generation horse trainer, and my father and his father before him were Pasofino trainers.
From South America originally?
Yes, sir. My father's from Cuba.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
So I've been born and raised doing this, and I really want to be the first person to bring Pasofino's to mainstream America and make them a household name here.
Now, this weekend, you're obviously a horseman. You deal in the world of horsemanship. So dinosaurs riding horses isn't your main act. You have other things that you're going to be doing here. Tell everybody what your act is and what we'll see this weekend at Road to the Horse.
Okay, basically, what we're going to do here is the Mike and Tito show with me and my noble steed Tito. And we're going to be showing all the versatility of the Pasofino. I'm sure we'll play a little soccer, jump a little jump rope, maybe even do a little flamenco dancing with a flamenco dancer.
Oh,
they
I
do
love
jump
it.
Rope. I've never seen a horse jump rope before. That's
oh,
new for me.
You need to YouTube that. You definitely.
No, I don't have that. To. I'll see him this weekend.
I think Michael has a video, and then there's a guy whose horse like does this airs above the ground while he's
right,
jump roping,
exactly,
which is amazing.
Exactly. From Spain, that guy got a lot of hits on that.
That was
and
another
gave us
crazy
the idea.
Viral view. Yeah.
But the amazing thing that you'll see in the show here in the Mike and Tito show is the Pasofino is the world's smoothest horse. You know, you don't bounce out of the saddle at all ever. And they're so versatile, they can do anything any other horse can do, but the other horses can't gait like a Pasofino does.
Explain the gaits. What gaits do they have?
Well, where a quarter horse will have a trot before their canter, they have a gait. And the gait is basically they have 3 feet on the ground at all times. And it keeps you motionless in the saddle. And they can be clocked up to 25 miles per hour still in their gait. And then from there, they can canter and run just like any other horse. And a lot of the South American countries, they
so
don't
they
have.
Do canter. And,
yes, they
yeah.
do.
Yeah, they very seldom see that. That's why.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even with the dinosaur on his back, he can still run.
That's funny. And, oh, by the way, you just got a compliment from my wife. She just texted that you sound like Harry Connick Jr. So can you sing, too?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
That's
a good compliment. Yeah, that is.
Can you sing like Harry Connick Jr.?
I think I could sing. I mean, I love singing. It's the people around me that have a difference in opinion.
I feel your pain. Yes.
Now, do you work with in your training business? Do you work with any other types of horses? Any
yes.
breeds?
You know, the Pasofino is my passion. And it's where I was born and raised. But I go and do clinics all over, horsemanship clinics all over the country. And 4 days from now, we're leaving for our European tour. And we're going to Germany and Austria. And most horses are not going to be Pasofinos. I mean, we mix with anything from draft mules, Belgians. The last clinic we had from Arabians to a forge, a Norwegian warhorse. I mean, anything that has hooves and shows up with a saddle on its back is getting rid of.
Okay, now be honest. Is there a breed that when you see them show up to your clinic, you go, yes? And then there's a breed that when they show up to your clinic, you go, no.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Whenever I see minis. I think, why are the minis? Those things, you know, they just have a fire inside of them, and they look at
me. I apologize to our mini listeners, which we have many, but you know what we're talking about. It's not a surprise.
They are the biggest handful. Normally, the bigger the horse, the easier it is to get things done, and the smaller the horse, the more fiery they are.
Yeah, I was a draft horse owner for Percherons, and you know, so and we could do you could do anything you wanted to with the Percherons.
Oh, of course.
I mean, they were great.
We just got done. We did the Mardi Gras parade and on Bourbon Street down in New Orleans with two Percherons, Jim and Jake, and it was amazing. And those horses are just completely.
You did Mardi Gras parade?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm from the bayou in South Mississippi. I mean, we live.
Oh, really?
You know, an hour from New Orleans.
What was that like with horses?
Oh, it was definitely an experience. I mean. Here at Road to the Horse, you have such a big crowd, but they're all horse people, and they understand.
Well, they're not throwing beads at your head either.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I get at. And in New Orleans, I mean, just nobody understands horses at all, and people treat them like they're machines. You know, they'll run in front of them, run behind
them.
Did
you have any funny moments during the parade?
Definitely, definitely. They were throwing we were
You
honored.
Weren't topless, by the way, were you? Or just in, you
know. No, topless. Right, we were actually doing the New Orleans Fire Department fire wagon from the 1800s, the steam wagons.
Yeah.
And we were the ones pulling it. And they were throwing these plastic fireman hats. And the wind would catch it, and you would see the kids try to run under the horses to catch them.
Oh, so no.
We were on kid patrol the whole time. Watch out for the kids.
Oh, wow. It's good you had draft horses at that one.
Right. It was a blast. You know, it's an experience you won't forget, just like Road to the Horse is here.
Is this your first time at Road to the Horse?
I was actually shaking hands for the Paso booth last year. And that was my first time. And I saw you do such a wonderful job in the wild card competition. And that's really what inspired me to find a way to get in it.
Oh, right on, right
Mary,
on.
Mary, you're an inspiration.
I am. That's always nice to hear.
It was so fun. I was walking around. Mary has the most unique coats that she has sold with her logo on the back, the Ride Like a Girl logo. And I saw one in the wild here this morning, and I was like, Mary, people are advertising for you. Isn't it so cool to see your own coat? And I said, do you know her? And she's like, I don't know her.
Well, actually, you were saying, Mary, your jacket.
I'm
like, where'd I leave my jacket? I didn't leave it out in the stands. And then he pointed at a girl. I'm like, she stole my jacket. I'm like, no, she has a jacket of mine. That's it's kind of a new thing for me.
Yeah, it's kind of neat to see, though, isn't it?
What? Yeah.
It's a big change. It's a really crazy change to see whenever you come from, you know, most of us start off on the ranch just by ourselves working horses. And then all of a sudden when you start really working on social media, you know, and really dedicate yourself to it, that you start seeing yourself outwards. You know, you see people wearing your logo and you see people knowing you at restaurants and things like that. It's a very eerie feeling.
If you haven't already, you better get practicing on the autographs. I can't tell you how many horse trainers have been, you know, myself included, you, like you said, you show up off the farm and, you know, you've got some clients and some friends on Facebook. And then all of a sudden you sit down and you're signing autographs for a large line of people. And I'm like, but my handwriting's so bad, they're not going to want this.
I think you have to take the rock star approach. Just scribble as fast as
you can. Yeah, that's right. Doesn't matter what it looks like.
You just have to fake it until you make it. As long as you have the face like you're writing good, people will love it.
Well, I was telling Glenn earlier, you know, some of these guys, you know, they put their brand in there. They'll put a really cool saying in there. And so I was thinking, you know, I've done this for 2 or 3 years now. I was thinking, well, I need to come up with that. But then it would be inconsistent with my former autographs, and I don't want to bring the value of those down, of course, you know. So I have to stay the same.
Mary, thinking ahead.
Yeah. You don't want to
She's
wreck that eBay value.
She's thinking ahead 40 years when they're selling her autograph on eBay. Only you, Mary.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Michael, what did you think of the competition last year? This was your first time watching this particular setup and how it works with really having limited time each day to get the ponies ready. What were your thoughts on it?
Well, I think for most of trainers back at the ranch, you know, starting horses, you have such a larger time frame to get it done. And you're able to do it, you know, whatever time is needed.
In the horse's time.
Yes, yeah. You know, an older gentleman said, Michael, you can train any horse in the world. You only need three things. Time. And the cool thing about this competition is that's the one thing you don't have is time. So it really forces you to push the limits and really communicate with the horse as fast as you can. I think it's just amazing. And I love the fact that, I mean, it really doesn't matter what your discipline is. You know, it comes back to the core horsemanship fundamentals to get through and really compete at a high level at this competition.
We're speaking to horse trainer Michael Gaskin. And you, as I said, will be entertaining here this weekend. Will we see the dinosaur?
I think you shall. If you just keep your eyes open, and I can't tell you when or where, but if you watch the whole time, he might just come out for an appearance.
How hard is it to ride in that thing?
The riding's not hard. The seeing.
I was
going to
say,
you,
where do you see?
There's a small peephole, but it's made for standing. So when you sit, the peephole is out of range.
Oh, really?
So it's just kind of a guesstimation of where you're going.
So we've seen horses that are blind competing before. This time, the rider's blind.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my horse...
Do you have a little, like, GoPro with a little screen inside the costume?
Well, I was hoping to get, like, a submarine mirror. So I can stick it up and see forward.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the best way to go. But Tito takes care of me, though.
Well, you know what? There are high walls here, so you can only go so far.
Exactly.
I mean...
that's the hope.
Well, Michael, thank you. What's your website for everybody?
Gascon Horsemanship.
And that's Gascon Horsemanship.com.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Michael. Good luck this
weekend.
Thank
you so much
for
having me on.
And we'll catch up with you again.
Matter of fact,
I think you're going to join us on Sunday for a little while for the play-by-play.
Okay. So that sounds like a plan to me. I'll love to be back.
We'll see you then.
Y'all have a great day, Michael.
All right. Thanks.
Well, they are lining up. What we're seeing from our vantage point here at the Alltech Arena is they are lining up for autographs of the clinicians, and the judges are all down there as well. To give you, I have a few stats here. So this competition, the Road to the Horse, started in 2003. It has been in three different states. I know it was in Tennessee before this one. Was it in Texas first?
It originally started in Fort Worth. And I think it was in conjunction with, a big cutting horse thing, like a sale. And I don't think they even filled 200 seats that first time around. It was, and I think to hear Tootie talk, they did the first event. And it was very, you know, kind of small. And people said, you guys have to do it again. And so they made a lot of sacrifices. And then it just kept growing and growing and started outgrowing its venues. So then it went to Tennessee. And I think
Murfreesboro.
Yes, Tennessee. Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Below Nashville.
Yes. And then now it's at the Horse Park. I think it started at the Horse Park in
3 years.
2013.
This is the third year, I think, at the Horse Park. Yeah, because we've been here. Yep, this is the third year.
Yes. So 2013 was
your
first
wild card year was here.
It was. Yeah. I think I picked up my my Palomino Pal from the first time they had it in Kentucky. We came out and I picked him up for the first wild card competition.
And this stadium is interesting. If you've never been to the All-Tech Arena, it was built for the 2010 World Equestrian Games, and it seats about 8,000 people. There are very few competitions, and there are a lot of competitions in here all year long. There are very few competitions that sell out every seat of this arena every year, and that's Road to the Horse is one of those, very few. When this arena is packed with people, and one of the things about this arena that I absolutely love is there is not a bad seat anywhere. Wherever you sit here, you can see really well. They designed it really well. And so there, wherever you're sitting, it's a good seat. And I got to tell you, when you get 8,000 people in here, the energy is just out of this world.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's and the crowd's really respectful. They cheer and but, you know, they understand horses as well. But there's even when the crowd isn't cheering, there's just it's almost like your head's in a jar. There's just this kind of pressure in the arena. You can hear it and feel it. It's really interesting, and your horse picks up on it. It's a really cool thing, and I've only been able to be a part of something like that, you know, very few times. This is, you like you said, it's one of the few events that really just packs a stadium.
And these people are rabid Road to the Horse fans. We're going to have one of them on with us on Sunday morning, who is probably the most rabid Road to the Horse fan. But these people live for Road to the Horse. They come every year. They know what's going on. They know what to look for. And they will tell the clinicians if they're doing something wrong.
Oh, yeah. The obstacle course, the famous obstacle course at the end, they not only have to do several obstacles, but then they've got to do this pattern before that, all these compulsory maneuvers, and it's a lot to take in and a lot to remember. And they're only given, you know, this pattern, the obstacle course, like right before the event. So, of course, you get out there, you're on a young colt, and some guy will turn left around the cone and he was supposed to go right, and the crowd will stop him and all, you know, they'll all point, you need to go back, do obstacle three. Or if they didn't get both leads at the canter, they forgot to show cantering the other way. The crowd always jumps in there to remind him.
Well, we're going to take a break for a song by one of our friends here at the Horse Radio Network. He's a super horseman himself. He actually has a job where he rides horses into the mountains for a living. That's everybody's dream job for a week at a time. He studies elk, actually, and he rides into the mountains and studies elk, but he also sings some songs, and we love him as an artist, and we're going to do Ride and Wild Ponies. I thought that was appropriate for today. Ride and Wild Ponies, and then we're going to hear from another one of our sponsors, and we're going to be back. We have more guests for you. We have Sarah Dawson, daughter of Richard Winters, coming up. We have Jackie and Rod Dowers, who are the wife and father of Nick Dowers, competing here this weekend. And then we have Anna Dahl, who is of Young Guns 4-H Drill Team. They're doing shows here as well. So we have much more coming up on today's show, right after we hear from Jared Rogerson, Riding Wild Ponies.
My Cadillac pack, she's loaded and ready. Gonna take her down the road to the rodeo. And with a new tank of fuel and a cool Mountain Dew, I'm gonna do just what I wanna do. We'll be riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, shooting for the title, the champion of the world. We'll just show up, take the money and run. Even if I don't win, well, I still have fun. Just riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, driving all around the world. Granddaddy said I need to find a girl and settle down. It's a secret to a happy life. Now I'm feeling pretty good. Man, he must have been right. I just found my one and only for the night. Well, Bucky's on the phone and darling's heading home. Me, I just travel wherever I may roam. I just show up, take the money and run. Sometimes I don't win, but I still have fun. Just riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, driving all around the world. Even though I always win, well, I still have fun. Just riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, driving all around the world. We'll be driving all around the world. Another half a million miles around the world.
Looking for sugar-free horse treats that your horse will love? Then Enjoy Yums are the answer. Made with only 6 ingredients, including rice bran for your natural omega-3s and 6s, and sweetened with only fruits and vegetables. Baked in the USA and personally approved by Scooter, the most famous pony in the world. Developed by a veterinarian with your horse's health and well-being in mind. They come in a convenient heart shape so they can be easily broken and are easily digestible. Available at select retailers across the USA and Canada. Also available online. Look for Equine Enjoy Yums at your store today.
Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. We are here at the Kentucky Horse Park at the Alltech Arena, and we are brought to you today by our title sponsor, horselovers.com. And of course, we're here for the Road to the Horse competition all weekend long. We're going to be bringing you 6 hours of live coverage, an hour and a half today, an hour and a half tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. again, and then 11 a.m. on Sunday. We're going to be on for all 4 hours of the final competition, giving you the play-by-play. We're going to be joined by some celebrities along the way. And we have one of them here with us right now, Sarah Dawson, who's daughter of Richard Winters, who has been here before. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me this morning.
It's so good. You were set up right across the road from us.
We are. It was an easy walk over, that's for sure.
Now, Sarah, you have been a pen wrangler before for your dad.
Yeah.
And so this is your third time doing that,
right? It is my
right?
third time. Yep. I'm a veteran.
Yes, you are. You're probably one of the most veteran pen wranglers around, actually.
Yes, yeah. They try to get the experienced ones.
Now, you also had the opportunity to compete here as well.
I did. In 2012, I did. It was a very fun experience. I loved it.
And you were competing. We were talking earlier in the show. There's been very few women, you and Mary and a couple of others, that have actually competed at Road to the Horse.
Yes, sir. Yeah, there's just a handful of us. So we're part of a small elite club.
Remind everybody what your horse was like that year. What was that experience like for you?
You know, I had a little bay gelding, and I just read in a magazine. I called him Patrick. I forgot about that, but his name is Patrick. And he was nice. I mean, he really wanted to just get along and be my friend the whole time. And so, yeah, for this competition, he was great.
Now, you know, when you're in competition, sometimes it seems like time flies. You know, they got an hour and a half in the pen and it seems like it goes by in 10 minutes.
It does.
And then there's sometimes where it seems like it goes by in 5 hours. So which was it for you?
You know, it went by fast. Not in a way that I didn't feel like I got everything done that I needed to get done. But it's like you kind of stepped in the pen, and before you knew it, you were stepping out again. So, yeah, it did go by fast.
And Yeah, I remember that horse, Patrick, that year. And we were just talking about, you know, what you're looking for in horses. And I've heard different opinions over the years. So what were you looking for in Patrick? And is what you look for in a horse, is that going to be the same thing that your dad looks for?
You know, for this particular competition, yes, we would be kind of looking for the same things. And not necessarily, and we were just talking before this, we came here, not necessarily looking for the horse that we would take home with us and keep. But we're looking for the horse who we think might get along best in these 3 days. And it might not be the same horse that you would want to take home with you for your lifelong partner. And so we're just kind of looking for something a little bit more on the quieter side. I mean, we don't want the horse that's kind of out there pushing all the other horses around necessarily.
You want the one hiding in the corner, right? Yeah.
Exactly. We want the wallflower, exactly, for this deal. The one that's kind of looking for a friend. Yeah.
Not the one who you can't get into the arena. Just,
exactly.
Just kind of the little brown colt that just mixes in with the herd.
Yeah.
And it always, and I'm with you. I'm the same way. I want to look for a friend and horse probably who's happy just sitting still and let me sit on him. And I was really surprised. I've seen some competitors go out there and like Jim Anderson one year, he picked the horse that like went after one of the Sixes Cowboys. I was looking at that thinking, oh, buddy, you're in trouble. And then, of course, he won.
Yeah. And I mean, different strokes for different folks. And I mean, I don't think any of those horses would be a wrong choice per se. It's just kind of differing opinions on what you might want for this particular competition, and what works for one guy might not work for another guy quite so well. And so each guy kind of knows his program and what will suit his program, and will kind of pick their horse accordingly.
Now, each of the competitors is going to be in a round pen for most of the time, and they are allowed to have one helper, and that helper is called a pen wrangler. And you've been a pen wrangler twice now. What's the job of the pen wrangler?
The job of the pen wrangler is really to just assist whatever the guy in the round pen needs help with. I mean, it's really pretty simple.
No, talk yourself up.
Right? No, this is supposed to be an important job. So.
Yeah, it's very stressful. A lot of stress. I hand him stuff.
That takes skill.
Can you whisper, Dad, would you calm down?
we can kind of talk a little bit of strategy too during that time. And my dad, we've worked together obviously for many, many years and have pretty much the exact same colt starting program, and so that's a benefit as well, in bouncing ideas off of each other before and after each round. And so
you know, they say you know your family, and sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's not. Apparently, with your guys, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, we both know each other's strengths and weaknesses. It helps a lot.
All right. So, let's throw him under the bus.
There we go.
So, whatever some of his strengths and weaknesses, you brought it up.
Oh, shoot. He's been to this event so many times. And so, I think, like, one of his strengths coming into this will be that. He's so experienced with it. I mean, he knows the format. He knows what to expect with the audience. And so that takes a lot of the unknown out of it there. And as far as weakness, and I think it would be the same thing with all of these guys, is having that time, being under that clock and that time management, and knowing what you need to touch on and what you might just need to bypass for the time being.
Was he your pen wrangler?
No, he wasn't. So I'm not sure why I'm his pen wrangler. No, he had commentate, which he felt was much more important than being my pen wrangler that year.
So who did you end up
with? I had one of my good friends, Jenny Sherbo. She was my pen wrangler.
Oh, that's right. And she was one of the, I think, did she win? See, we did this crazy, crazy competition in 2012 in California.
You know, I think she did win the Cowgirl.
Project Cowgirl.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yes, Project Cowgirl. I think she did win that. Yeah.
Good times.
That was. I forgot about that.
I know. And that was it. That was also a 2D Blam production.
Yes, it was.
And we drove. You didn't have as far a drive, but we went to California. They did that Project Cowgirl thing, and we had obstacle courses. We had to cook at one point.
You had to cook?
Yes. I think you did. You had to cook.
Do they know that horse girls don't cook?
They found out,
yes. It did not go well. We had aprons, and we had to make aprons. It was,
I made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yes.
Pretty stellar. Yeah.
I don't know what I made, but it was atrocious.
Sarah, tell us a little bit about your operation now at home.
Yes, sir. Myself and my husband, Chris Dawson, operate Dawson Performance Horses out of Aubrey, Texas, where our main focus is the training and showing of grain cow horses. And so that's what we're doing now and loving it.
And we were talking about the snaffle bit maturity earlier. Of course, Nick Dowers was the 2013 champion. Yes. And then your husband, he's also won that. Is that correct?
He has. That's the only major event he has not won yet. He's
oh,
been
really?
Reserved. But he
you had to pick
right.
the one he didn't
I
win.
Know. Yeah,
one
thing.
Rub it in.
Way to go.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's on his bucket list, though. He'll get it.
He'll get it. He'll yeah. get it. Well, and he's done the reining, and so you guys have come become sort of the power couple in the Western world. And
it's been a lot of fun.
You still event? Is that correct?
I do. Yes.
Wow.
I do. I you know I just have one of those. He's kind of like my golf. He gets me away from everything else, and so it's
eventing for relaxation. That's a new one.
You're right? an event. Right? You're an eventer.
I do. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I didn't know that. Wow. So when are we going to see you at Rolex?
Well, my horse is only 4. So oh,
okay, a few years yet. All right, give you 3 years, and then you have to be there. Actually, maybe 4 or 5. But
we'll start working on it.
Alisa Wallace is a regular guest on the show,
oh,
and her
she?
Husband does
okay.
An episode of about horse husbands with us.
No,
so,
how cool is that?
Yeah, so Elisa's been fun to follow, and her
yeah.
travels with, you know, starting Mustangs and then her eventing career, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun
cool.
to follow. I didn't realize you were an eventer.
Well, I'm not on that level. So
you will be. Good time.
Yeah.
So what's more fun for you? Is eventing the thrill,
you know,
the cross-country, or
the,
starting colts, or what?
Funness level, I really enjoy the competition side of things. Whether it's the cow horse or the eventing, the cow horse is definitely where our bread and butter comes from, though.
Yeah, there's no money in eventing.
Right. That's why I only have one of those. Yeah. So I would probably say the competition side of things is where my passion really lies at this stage of the game.
Did you two meet at a show?
We did. I shouldn't say many years ago. About a few years ago, we met at a show and just became good friends. And then we got married last year. So.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
They're still in the honeymoon phase. She's blushing.
I have a quick question for Sarah.
All right, we have a question from my producer. Sarah can't hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, Sarah, are we going to be seeing a 4/6 colt at like Red Hills someday soon?
Oh, Jennifer wants to know if we're going to be seeing a 4/6 quarter horse eventing at Rolex at some day.
They haven't conquered it yet.
Not
I have
that
my
I
doubts.
Have in the barn at the moment. Won't say it's never going to happen, but I don't have him at the
you
moment.
You know, if they added a cow, if they added a cow competition to eventing, maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you had to herd cows in the
that'd
the,
be pretty cool,
on the cross country course. You have to stop in a pen.
That's
and
a new event.
You know,
we need to,
cow
we need
sword along the way.
Yeah, those are some good horses. I
yeah, we need to combine competitions here. That'd be
right?
funny. Yeah,
Tucker,
hey there,
the
I call
of
that one. That's my
horse.
Idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for stopping by. Where can people find you guys?
On Facebook or in Aubrey, Texas.
And on Facebook,
and
it's...
On Facebook, it would be Dawson Performance Horses.
Dawson Performance mm-hmm. Horses.
Yes, sir.
Well, good luck this weekend. Have fun. We'll be cheering for you as you're handing things off.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah.
That's Sarah Dawson. She is the daughter of Richard Winters, of course, one of the competitors here at Road to the Horse. A couple more statistics for you while we're waiting for our next guest to come in. We have Jackie and Rod Dowers coming in next. We've had 43 competitors over the years from 4 different countries. We've had we've transported colts from 4 different states, hosted 63 judges, and awarded 13 world championships. 8 individuals wear the buckles, which include, of course, Stacy Westfall. So Stacy Westfall is the only one that only female that has won the competition. And our next guests are making their way over. Come on in, guys, right up to the microphone, about an inch away. Oh, we have all of we
you
have the whole
all
gang
to
here.
Share the same mic, so.
Well, I think we have to start. Let's start with Jackie. Come on, Ray. You need to be about an inch from the mic. We have to share one there. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Jackie Dowers with us, who of course is wife of Nick Dowers. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Good morning.
Good.
Morning.
It's fun. Is everybody getting nervous in the camp?
No.
No.
No. Oh,
nervous. We are confident.
happening.
Oh, look at you go. Good for you, girl.
I remember Nick was saying yesterday that the being on the arena, that's the easy part. And it's the talking to people and kissing babies. That's the nerve-wracking part. Is that right?
Well, yeah. He's so good. Like, he's really just having fun, I think. I don't think he's nervous. Like, when he's under pressure and busy like this, he does awesome.
Does he ever get nervous? He's the most laid-back guy. He doesn't get that from his dad, so I don't know. It must be from mom, because I don't know.
I don't think he does, you know? He really backs up what he says and knows what he's talking about. I've never really seen him that nervous.
And that's, you know, that's amazing. We go over his history, and you see some guys who show for decades and decades and never really kind of break in. And he's just, that's kind of newer for him, the competition. He's been starting Colts forever, but he just kind of broke onto the scene and just started winning right off the bat. And I think you have to have the ice water in your veins to be able to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What was it, do you think, what was it Tootie noticed? You know, it's hard to get a call from Tootie to come here and compete. You got to be somebody pretty special. And she keeps an eye out at different competitions around the country and people who are popping up in the scene. But she's pretty particular, too, right? I mean, we all know Tootie. So what do you think stuck out? What was in her mind when she picked Nick?
You know,
other than he's a really good-looking cowboy and thought he'd sell tickets. Other than that.
Other than his image. I don't know. Nick, he's a great speaker. He loves to teach people, and he can explain things so well to people. I think you can really relate to him, and he comes from a background that a lot of people have and can relate to, his ranching, farming, you know, growing up.
Because he grew up on the ranch, right?
Yeah, and I think people can really easily relate to him, and he can communicate and connect with people easily, and he's got a look, you know, like his image, and it's just contagious, and you want to be around him and know what's next. It's like exciting to be around him.
And you know, we found the same thing. We haven't spent much time with him. We just met him yesterday. But you know, in interviews we've done leading up to this, he's just been that cowboy with confidence, that quiet cowboy with confidence. And we're going to be rooting for him this weekend. Of course, you always root for the rookie, right?
Yes.
So yeah, we're going to be rooting for him.
Yeah.
Well, we also have his parents here. So we have Rod and Maria Dowers. Come on in, both of you. So I met Rod yesterday. Rod, how proud of you are your boy?
Yeah, he's really does a good job, and we're very proud of him. Very proud of him.
Now you're out of Nevada, right? Wasn't that where the ranch was?
Yeah, we live out in no man's country between Vegas and Reno.
Oh, hot as hell
Rod. you gotta be headed our way to find us.
Oh my God, and hot in the summertime.
Yeah.
Don't go on a half a tank of gas, that's for sure,
yeah,
probably.
Fill up before you leave Vegas.
So what's your ranch like? What did he grow up on? Kind of paint a picture for people.
Well, we have a ranch, and we raise alfalfa and run cows and always had the love of horses. But Nick really turned it on. I'd like to get a lot of credit for it. Maybe I get more than I deserve, but Nick just really picked up on it and went to Feather River College and really got around some great horsemen. It was Brian Newbert and Joe Walters and others. And
those are both past judges of Road to the Horse.
Past judges and really, really learned a lot from a lot of people. And he's just a natural.
Well, then, but we also know who he really got all his inspiration from, and that was mom, right? So how proud of you are of your boy here this weekend?
Oh, man. It's pretty, yeah. Yep, really proud.
Are you going to be nervous all weekend?
No, I'm not nervous. I'm so excited.
Are you?
I'm just excited.
Awesome. Yep. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's fair to call him the underdog. This might be his first time competing here, but I tell you what, on his website, I've never seen a website with more glowing testimonials and from, you know, like Joe Walter and Brian Newbert and all these just kind of legends in the horse industry. So I don't know. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what he brings.
Yes. I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised at Nicholas. They haven't seen him a lot, and I think his gift is just gonna blow him away.
All right, so tell everybody one thing that we don't know about him yet.
He's fun. He is fun. F-U-N. Capital letters, yeah. He just finds the fun in everything. He loves what he's doing, and I think that's why everybody enjoys watching him so much. You know, that's a part of it, is that he just has a joy in it, and it carries over.
I was going to say, at what point, or during the weekend, obviously, we're going to see the horses progress and everything. Does he have a plan? Has he been working on a plan at this point?
Yeah, he's been working on a plan. He and Nolan, his friend Nolan, they've been working on it a couple times. Nolan came out. And
they have you been out there to supervise at all?
I just watch. I'm not the horsewoman, but I just watch them and cheer them on.
Now, do you guys still have a ranch? You still run a ranch? Yeah.
Yeah. We grow alfalfa and have cattle.
So you still do it all these years? How many years?
Oh, my. Forever.
Yeah.
My dad was a farmer, you know, his dad. And it's just gone on from there. We've been married almost 40 years. So
yeah, we always talk about the difference between ranches and farms, and we always are trying to figure out whether, you know, it's acreage or, and nobody really has a good answer. Yeah. So how many acres is this ranch?
How many acres, Dad? About 5,000.
Oh, wow. See, that's a ranch. That I think that's beyond
a
farm.
A little bit more than mine.
It's a little bit more than my 12. So yeah. I get it.
I'm 30, so.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate it. Good luck this weekend. We're going to be rooting for him, all right?
Thank you.
Take
thank
care.
You very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you,
take
guys.
Take care, guys. Well, that was fun. How proud are they, huh?
Oh yeah, I can't wait. This is going to be a really good year. I'm really excited about this group of competitors, and I agree with her. I think he's going to blow everybody out of the water. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, we have another guest going to be coming up here in a little bit, but first we have to hear from one of our terrific sponsors, Ice Vibe.
In the world of horse racing and elite equestrian sports, it's all about how to prepare and repair. Ice Vibe is a truly portable and highly efficient circulation therapy system for your horse. Before activity, prepare to prevent damage by using the Ice Vibe's vibration pads. Repair after the event by using the unique combination of cold packs and vibration to minimize swelling and encourage blood flow. And because it's battery powered, Ice Vibe is truly portable. The essential and affordable tool to prepare and repair. Ice Vibe.
You can find out more details about Ice Vibe at ice-vibe.com or horseware.com, or ask your local tack shop or online supplier for more information about Ice Vibe circulation therapy from Horseware. We really appreciate all of our sponsors for this coverage.
In a state like Nevada, where horsemanship is it's a prideful thing, there's a lot of cowboys around.
We really appreciate all of our sponsors for this coverage of Road to the Horse. And Mary, of course, competed as a wild card for a couple of the years. They had a wild card competition where you picked a horse from the Remuda and then you went home and you trained it for a year and you came back and you competed with like 10 other people, 10 or 12 other people, for the right to compete at Road to the Horse. And you did that twice. So the first year was your horse Pal, P-A-L, right?
Yes. So Pal, because he's a Palomino. So I'm very original in my naming. And he was a really cool horse I picked out of the Remuda. He was, let's see, how was he bred? He was kind of running bred horse, and then he's mixed with the quarter horse, ranch horse, and he was very kind of big and big strided. Had, you could tell there was a lot of thoroughbred in there. And Pal got, man, he got such a following, and I still get asked about him every single day. And so everyone wants to know how Pal is.
Well, it's just a picture posted on your Facebook page, right?
Yes. So I actually sold Pal. I competed in the wild card thing, got reserved with him, and I sold him at the event. I didn't even come home with him. And I sold him to a wonderful couple. I think they're located in Alabama now, and it is Bob and Susan Haynes. And they bought him, took him home, and are doing cowboy dressage and competitive trail. trail, and he's taught him a bunch of tricks. He just posted a picture on my page yesterday. Pal is doing a big bow, and he can smile. So for everyone that wants to know, he's still very loved, and he's doing well, and I couldn't have asked for a better home for him.
Linda is here. She's one of our auditors. She's been guest wrangling all morning, and I wanted to say hi to her before our next guest comes on.
Hi.
Thank you so much for helping us out today.
You're welcome. What a pleasure.
Right in front of the mic there. Oh, there you go.
You're welcome.
So now, Linda, this is your first time on the air, but this is your second time at Road to the Horse?
Yeah. I was here 2 years ago, and I saw Mary compete, and I saw Pal, and it was a blast. I had to come back and see it all again. It's a different show, though, this year.
It
has matured a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting what they do to kind of keep it evolving. So it's kind of a new show every year. And when you're sitting at home and you might hear about it and you're like, oh yeah, Colt's starting competition, you know, well, that might be fun. But then you go. And
right.
It's crazy.
It's a big event. It's a big kind of rock star event.
How was it different for you the first year? How was it different than what you expected?
The first year?
Yeah, when you came the first time.
I think it was just, you know, a bigger occasion than I expected it to be. I mean, you see these things at a clinic or,
with 200
farm.
People around. Yeah. Yeah.
A handful of people, even people paying to be there. And this is a big show, and there's a lot of entertainment as well. But one thing that I realized was very different this year from the last time I was here was that the Bermuda is a lot smaller.
Yeah, they only brought 12 horses or something this
time? Well, they don't need them for all the wild cards.
Right. So they don't
need
as many.
So the last time they had the Bermuda going through the whole
arena floor. It was like 24 horses, yeah.
Right. And this time they had, you know, just a piece of the floor. And it seemed a lot calmer. I mean, I got the impression that they were trying to keep the horses pretty relaxed and calm last night versus the 2 years ago, it seemed... There were big flashing lights, and it was kind of more of a scene, more of a.
You might see a little bit of that today when they bring them out.
Oh, because yesterday, you know, they're just kind of getting started, and yesterday was the free day, and then today is when you're going to have the big grand entry and fireworks and smoke, and it's going to be quite the production.
They'll be a little crazy today when they
get. At least I got the introduction last night, a little bit.
Well, we're glad that you're here. Thank you so much also for being an auditor, and you're representing auditors.
My
actually,
pleasure.
There's several auditors.
Hello,
here.
Auditor, buddies.
There's several of you here this weekend. If anybody doesn't know what an auditor is, that's somebody who takes value in the shows that we put out at the Horse Radio Network and donates a little bit each month, even as little as a dollar. And one of the things they get is their special auditor private Facebook page, which is one of the most active Facebook pages on Facebook. You guys have really become a family. Are you coming tonight for the meetup?
Yes, I am.
All right. So we'll remind everybody tonight at the Clarion Hotel at the restaurant there. It's called Cortland's Kitchen. We'll be there at 7 p.m. Come on out and say hi to us. We'd love to hang out with you and eat some dinner and have some fun. So we'll see you there.
We'll see you then.
Thanks for helping out.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
So and then your second horse was what? Was who? Guthrie.
That was Guthrie. And he's a Playboy's Buck Beaver and out of a Paddy's Irish Whiskey mare. And he's just this big, roly-poly, gorgeous bay quarter horse. And I showed up, and I did not think I would be able to pick him because we had to draw to pick. So I thought, oh, there's no way I'm coming home with him. And sure enough, no one got him. So I swooped him up and took him home. And I still have him. He's learning all sorts of cool tricks right now. And he can play fetch and lay down and sit up. And so he's really more like a dog to me now.
You may not have won the wild card last year, but you were the audience favorite by far.
Really?
People loved you. And, you know, it could be because you're just, you know, you're a good looking cowgirl. I don't know.
But, I'm the token girl.
Yeah, so. You were the token girl. But just people loved you. I mean, they were cheering for you and rooting for you. How much of that are you aware of?
You know, I have some awareness of it, but I kind of forget a little, you know, especially you go home from something like Road to the Horse and you go back to the ranch. And yeah, I got a lot of Facebook fans from it and a lot of good opportunities. And then when I get on the plane to come here, I had a lot of people in the airport were like, oh my gosh, you're Mary. Are you going to Road to the Horse? I'm like, oh yeah. So I am. and of course, you know, when you come back here again, the fans are so loyal and awesome and they follow everybody even after the event's over. So I'm running into a ton of people already this weekend who've who've stayed with us and have followed Guthrie's progress. And so, yeah, I kind of know about it.
Guthrie's one of those horses you did want to take home.
Oh yeah. He's such a great horse. And when you meet him in person, you know, he gets a lot of fans when he goes out places.
Well, one of the other things that happens here this weekend, because remember, the competition's only 90 minutes each of the days, is there's a lot of clinics. Each of the competitors puts on a clinic. So you get like these free clinics all weekend long. I think Clinton Anderson's going to be going on here today, although the line is still a mile long to get autographs down here on the arena floor. So what also happens is there's entertainment that happens, and part of that entertainment this year is the Young Guns 4-H Drill Team, and we have Anna here with us. Hi, Anna. Come right in real close to the mic.
Hi.
It's so glad of you to stop by. You also have a friend with you. You introduce her.
Yeah, this is Brooke Bailey.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi.
I'm so glad you guys stopped in. Now, where out of Kentucky are you?
We're from Northern Kentucky.
Very good. And have you been doing the drill team thing for a long time?
I've been doing it for 4 years.
And this is also my fourth year.
Oh, cool.
Is this your first time? This your first time doing Road to the Horse for both of you?
It's our first time all together as a team for Road to the Horse, and it's like really big for us, and we're really excited.
You've never had 8,000 people before?
No, not at all.
And have you had time on the arena? Because this is a daunting arena. It's big, it's loud, and there's a lot going on. Have you had a chance to practice on the floor?
We've actually shown here before for a couple national shows. But we got time to practice in the arena last night, so that was good.
I didn't know there were national shows. Tell us about that.
We've been to a couple of them. One of them was in Georgia, but it's called like Bluegrass Blast, and we showed a lot of those.
Now, is that like a drill team competition?
Yeah, it's just a whole bunch of drill teams that come together, and we all show.
Yeah. And what do you do? Do you just do your drills, and then you're judged on them?
Yeah, there's like different classes that you can enter into, and there's like costume classes or youth or open classes or quads, which is just four, and they have their own made-up drill, and we enter into those and we compete against the other ones.
Is there compulsory movements like in gymnastics, or is it all freestyle?
We have a drill that's planned out that we practice on like 3 to 2 times a week for a while, and we follow that drill the whole time.
And so this weekend, you guys are, I assume you're going to be bringing in flags. Is that right?
Yes, we carry flags and we do our drill at top speeds. And we even have trick riding at the end. So some of our girls will be standing.
Oh, right on.
Are you standing?
Yeah, I am one of the ones that stands.
Now, that's the palindrome. Is that right?
Or hippodroming.
Hippodrome. Okay, I don't know my trick riding. I was trying to sound smart.
So what's the palindrome?
Is that even a thing?
I have no idea.
No, apparently not.
I made up a word. Yeah, hopefully it doesn't mean something bad.
So you've obviously been doing a lot of practicing for this. Are you nervous? Are you excited?
I think we're all pretty nervous. We've been very excited for this. We've all been counting down the days. So.
Yeah. And will you be in every day?
Yeah, we perform Saturday and Sunday too.
Very cool. Well, we're excited to see you go by. We'll be cheering for you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Have fun, guys. And where can people find you? You have a Facebook page, right?
Yeah, we do have a Facebook page under Young Guns 4-H Equestrian Drill Team. And yeah.
All right. Very good. We can look for it there.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Good luck, guys.
And they look the part. They look like they're ready to go out there and do their thing. Well, we will remind you that the rest of the weekend, we're going to have an hour and a half of coverage for you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We'll review today's events. The first round goes today, the picking of the horses. We'll review all that for you. We'll have some more terrific guests for you tomorrow morning as well. We'll be hearing from Richard Winter's camp. We have somebody coming over from there, and we have other guests lined up. Sunday is a very important day. It's the first time we're doing this. Tootie called me and asked me, would you do live play-by-play? It's the only free live play-by-play coverage you'll get this weekend. However, there is a video feed that you can purchase. Just go to roadtothehorse.com. I think it's $49 for the weekend. You can actually watch the video, and then you can go turn on our player and listen to us commentate during it if you want on Sunday. But we will be here from 11 till it's done. 3:30 on Sunday. We'll go right to the awards ceremony. We have a lot of cool people joining us. And I know that Dan James is one of them. He's going to stop in for an hour. And we're lining up other people to be joining us all through the live competition on Sunday. Have you ever done a play-by-play like that before?
I don't think so.
Oh, good. I haven't either. So we're going to be in the same.
This is going to go well.
That's why we're enlisting help. That's why. But we're going to be just describing what's happening on the floor. I know you're not going to be able to see it, but we'll do the... hey, look, radio for football and for baseball is very popular. So that we're just going to be kind of doing the live play-by-play like that. Only it'll be them competing in the obstacle course and doing their freestyle. And Mary, having been down there before, can really share the excitement or the thrills or the agony of what they're going through at the time.
Yes, and I'm going to give unwavering criticism as well.
You've been waiting a long time to do that, haven't you?
You'll hear exactly what I think.
And Jennifer, we can't leave Jennifer out. Coach Jen is in the studio still back in Ocala helping all of this happen.
Yeah, hey, and I've been sitting here watching the statistics, and we have exceeded our expectation for live listeners on this show today. Yay.
Well, welcome, everybody. Yay. Well, you know what? Horses in the Morning is here 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. We provide a variety of things for you all month long. We have the Certified Horsemanship Associations on here. We are a morning live drive radio show, so it's a lot of fun and silly stuff that happens. We have contests. Last year alone, we gave away over $12,000 in prizes on our show.
Wow.
So, yeah, we do prizes. The most fun thing that usually is here, and I apologize to everybody tuning in this morning not hearing this because it's everybody's favorite, is we do really bad ads on Fridays at 10 o'clock. And really bad ads is everybody's favorite. This is listener-submitted bad Craigslist ads of horses for sale or trailers or things, and we make fun of them for half an hour. And it is the most we get double the audience on Fridays. So I apologize. There will be back next week. If you want to send in a really bad ad and have a chance of winning a prize, you can send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line.
Yeah, and those bad ads, I think there's a mess to choose from. I know in my area alone.
We get a lot from Texas, Mary.
Yes,
I don't know what that says about your state.
Unfortunately, unfortunately. We didn't learn grammar none too well in Texas.
Yeah. We do get a lot from there.
And you get a lot of 18-9 hand... ungelded mares for sale.
I am shocked at how many 15.8 hand horses there are out there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, when they're listing the breed, they'll be like, he's a full-blooded bay horse. I'm like, okay.
Okay, yes.
A Cleveland Bay? You know, I guess that's a breed. And, Craigslist is provides hours of endless entertainment.
For 5 years, it's brought us great radio. Yes. I can tell you that. You know, I always am waiting for the day when one of the people listens and hears and then contacts us and is really angry that we made fun of their ad, but I figure they're too embarrassed and they've just never contacted us.
Or, you know, they made the radio, so.
Yeah, right. No matter how you do it.
Any publicity is good publicity.
That's right. You can find Mary Kitzmiller at marykitzmiller.com. You can find links to today's guests and our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. And also, you can listen to all past 1,300 episodes that we've done over there. We're one of the longest running podcasts out there. And you can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. So we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern with more coverage for you here from the Alltech Arena. You can find the Road to the Horse website at roadtothehorse.com. Thank you to Tootie and to our friend Tammy Sarantz for helping us get everything set up yesterday. We appreciate all of their help. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Bye, Mary.
All right. Bye.